Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny kicking off the third hour of today's show on 106.7 The Fan, getting ready for Monday Night Football, a Washington game day uncensored here on G&D, driven by LindseyCars.com. You will love it at Lindsey. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. Let's get with him right now. Craig, who of the Redskins whose status is up in the air is most significant? What don't we know about who's in and who's out right now?
We don't really know much beyond what we knew on Saturday. You know, when you look at the injury report, obviously we know Jordan Reed is out, and that is the biggest thing. We feel pretty good that Jonathan Allen is going to play, but for a guy like Quentin Dunbar, who was listed as questionable, didn't practice all week, I don't know. Like, I thought he probably would have been ruled out after not practicing all week, but he is technically questionable. I'd expect him not to play. And then I don't think there was anybody else, if I'm remembering correctly, who was up in the air. Casanova McKenzie is out. That means the new signee, former second-round pick Noah Spence, will get some run tonight. And they're going to be a little bit thin at outside linebacker because there's only so much of the playbook that he knows. And then, you know, Fabian Moreau being back is the big one in terms of guys who will play outside of Allen, obviously. But Moreau being back allows them to do more on the back end and obviously lessens the impact that Dunbar is not going to be there.
Craig, give me a matchup on both sides of the ball you'll be highlighting that you think will be key to who wins this matchup.
Oh, man. I think when the Bears' offense is on the field, it's paying attention versus Tariq Cohen. Is that allowed as a matchup?
I'll take that.
He's going to be everywhere. And I think understanding where he is and what kind of role he's playing at any given time is really essential to kind of figuring out the Bears' offense. They do a lot of window dressing. So there's a lot of different personnel. There's a lot of different formations. But understanding when to treat him as a running back and when to treat him as a wide receiver and how that affects what defense you call in terms of your checks and all those kinds of things is really important. So that obviously primarily is on John Bostic as the person who's going to be, you know, emanating that communication, but really it's on everyone because you can make that process a lot faster and not get fooled if you understand when he's supposed to be treated as a wide receiver, which is often, and when he's really, you know, obviously he's wearing 29 is when he's being treated as a running back. When the Redskins offense is on the field, I think that one's pretty obvious. It's Khalil Mack versus Morgan Moses. If Mack dominates that matchup and you have to use a running back or a tight end to help, and you know, even sometimes that's not enough, that can just wreck your entire game. If you can keep him in check and run your offense, then you got a chance against the Bears defense that's still really, really good outside of him. But obviously, Mack is the ultimate game wrecker.
Seems like everyone's just decided the Redskins aren't going to be able to run the ball against the Bears, including maybe Jay Gruden, who said something along the lines of, we need to get Peterson going. Might have to wait a week to do it. How much should they bang their head against the wall, losing and failing offensively if they're not running it?
Not much, because there's other weapons. I think that has been the surprise of the year is guys like Richardson and McLaurin obviously has been the big one, but you can get the ball in their hands, good things happen. Trey Quinn has made guys miss when he's gotten the ball in space. He may not be the guy who's going to take it 80 yards, but he can take it 12 when it should have been 4, and those are obviously huge yards in this league. So if you can replace some of your run game with your quick game, and also, by the way, that helps limit the effectiveness of Mack. If he's just going to fly up the field, let him go by if the ball's out of your hands, if you're Case Keenum. So I think that there's a real effectiveness that you can have moving the ball, making sure you get that 4 to 6 yards on first down without just trying to do it, banging your head against the wall, running the ball, you know, risking penalties where that's where they picked up the most holding calls is in the running game. So if you can find ways to stay in front of the chains and be in good down and distance without running it, why would you run it?
I think if they eliminate big plays, they can win this game tonight, Craig. It's obviously important to do that against anybody, but against an offense that's really struggling, you can't get anything easy. I feel like if you make them earn their way 10, 12, 13-play drive up and down the field, they won't be able to do that consistently enough.
100%, and I think it's obviously that formula in reverse for their offense. you can't just expect to move the ball against a Bears defense that is going to have Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd coming after you, that's really stout inside, that has really fast linebackers. You're going to have to block it up about 2-3 times, make sure it's right, have your guys win on the outside and take big shots. By the same token, when your defense is on the field, you've got to see through the window dressing. You can't have the wrong coverage. You can't bust, and you've got to make them earn it, because if you make Mitchell Trubisky earn it time in, time out, snap in, snap out, he's eventually going to make a mistake. He's going to give you opportunities for turnovers. He's going to just flat out miss, and then you play a field position game. So whoever can get more big plays tonight, I think that's how points are going to come by and large. So whoever wins that battle, I mean, it makes sense, obviously, but there are some games where, hey, okay, that team got two big plays, but that's all they got, and the other team consistently executed and won, you know, 30-14. I don't think that's this game. I think the points are going to come on big plays, and whichever team can pull out more of them and obviously avoid the catastrophic big plays the other direction is the team that's going to win.
Craig, thank you. FedEx Field tonight is where you will hear Craig broadcasting from throughout the evening here on 106.7 The Fan. Let's talk some baseball. Byron Kerr on the Nats beat for Mass and Sports. You see him pre and post occasionally on your televisions as well. BK, the Nats didn't get a win yesterday, but the magic number didn't change. They are still sitting at 4 because the Cubs have imploded. It looks pretty good right now, like they're going to get in. The question is, will they host a play-in game or not?
Yeah, that is the big deal with the Milwaukee Brewers, what, winning 15 of their last 17 games. So it's not the easiest road here down the stretch to make sure that they can at least make it. But you're right, with the Cubs getting swept, that certainly opens the door to the wild card game. Now, is it going to be in Milwaukee or is it going to be in D.C.? They have 8 games in 7 days, and starting with a game tonight and then a doubleheader tomorrow. So it's a lot of baseball. Hunter Strickland talked about it after giving up the runs yesterday, that they can't look back, they have to look forward, and that's what they're going to have to do, is just try to run to the finish line here. But it's not going to be easy.
It would also be nice if they could get this thing squared away in the next, say, 4 or 5 days, so they could just spell these dudes like Rendon and Turner, who don't get a day off, rather than playing 8 and 7 days going into a playoff run that's going to be grueling. I'd love to have a 2-day span somewhere where these guys could all get off their feet a little bit.
I totally agree. It would be nice to see Adrian Sanchez or Wilmer Defoe or players like that get a chance, Andrew Stevenson get a chance to start games, as Drubal Cabrera has a sore ankle after trying that slide at home plate over the weekend. So, you know, he's a little bit older, he's a little bit banged up, and you would love to be able to rest Max Scherzer on that Sunday against the Indians and have him get ready for the wild card game, whether it's in Milwaukee or D.C. But yes, with the magic number at 4, get this done right now. Surge against the Phillies here. They are a wounded team after losing 10-1 yesterday. Get that out of the way so you can maybe have a couple of days where you could theoretically have that little breather before you get ready for Milwaukee again.
If you've heard this before, stop me, but the Nats gave up a bunch of runs late in a game. 4 runs in the late innings, in the 8th on Saturday, 4 in the 7th the other night, or last night rather. I'm glad they won 2 out of 3. That's good. But the bullpen, Byron, it's this dark cloud hanging over everything. It's not just the B guys. It's not the guys that won't pitch. It's everybody. There's no answer there. It's like, I understand not getting excited at this point, just because it feels like no matter what happens, it's going to come down to that.
Yeah, I mean, you can see what Davey's tried to do. He's tried to give Daniel Hudson a couple of innings. He's tried to go with Tanner Rainey for a long time. He tried to go with Wander Suero. He's given these guys all these opportunities to try to step up, Hunter Strickland, et cetera, because he knows that they're trying to kind of hold back on Sean Doolittle if he can ever reach where he was at the beginning of the season. That's another big question mark. So you're right. It's an airplane that's taken on a lot of oil. There's flames out on the wing, and they have to try to land this puppy before Tuesday and try to get in and then work from there. Can the starters go longer? I don't know. They seem like they have had to go long the entire season. So are they going to run out of gas by the time they get to the postseason? Big question marks as to who is that go-to guy. You look at the Dodgers, you look at other teams like the Braves, they seem to have 2 guys that can be the guys that get those outs in the late innings. The Nats barely have 1 guy that can do that. So that is the biggest weakness heading into the postseason.
The last thing I've got for you is, I would have said about a month ago, maybe even a week ago, honestly, after the Yelich injury, I want Milwaukee over Chicago.
I don't know that I want him anymore.
Darvish could just completely carve you up. I want a team that doesn't have a great starting pitcher, and the Brewers are that. They do have a good bullpen, and they don't lose 15 of 17. How should we feel if you get to a play-in game against the Brewers? Yes, they don't have Yelich, but they're on a magic carpet ride right now.
Yeah, I mean, and they've matched up well against the Nats this year, although the first series up there was when the Nats were not what they are right now. So they won the season series 4-2, so they have the tiebreaker if the teams are even at the end. And yeah, I thought the same thing with Yelich going down. I said, oh, this is going to derail the good feelings for Milwaukee. But you're right, they are on a mission right now, 15-2 in their last 17. And the Nats offense, which has also played a part in having a good day and then a bad day, they're going to have to step up against a team that is swinging the bats very well right now in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not afraid to have that, and then they have Hader going in the late innings to try to put the game away. So, you know, we talk about the bullpen all the time. The offense is going to have to come up big in that game to set the tone if they're going to be able to beat Milwaukee in a one-game playoff.
BK, thank you, buddy. Appreciate
all right,
the
guys.
Time.
Great to see you.
Byron Kerr helping us on the Beltway Blitz. Get the latest on the Nationals. Grant and Danny on the Fan. More on the Nats coming up later in the hour. Next, Skins Bears tonight. Confident in, worried about. We'll answer those questions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. A mixed bag for the quarterbacks replacing starters this week via injury or benching. You had Gardner Minshew Thursday Night Football look really crisp for the Jaguars. They won by 13 over the Titans, 20-7. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones lit it up for the Giants in a 32-31 road win in Tampa Bay. But elsewhere, I don't know how much of the 49ers and the Steelers you saw. Mason Rudolph's first game, and the numbers were okay. 2 touchdowns and
ended
a pick.
Ended up okay, yeah.
He ended up scoring one of his touchdowns. It was kind of an all Juju Smith-Schuster effort play. Got him on a crossing route, and then Smith-Schuster did all the work. He played in a way that you have to think, if that was Roethlisberger, they find a way to win. San Francisco turned the ball over 5 times at home and won by 4, basically in a back-and-forth game at the end.
Dominated the game except for that part of it, right? I mean, just in terms of total yards, first downs, yards per play, red zone trips, the whole 9 yards, and he had to eke it out because of those turnovers.
And then meanwhile, Kyle Allen with the Panthers
looked really good.
He looked like he improved their offense. They could throw the ball all of a sudden. Part of this is going to be, I think we're going to find out as the year goes, Arizona's defense is bad. But Kyle Allen threw for 261 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no picks. He was 19 of 26. Basically, nothing hit the ground. It's a 7-on-7 drill for him.
Super efficient. You unlock Christian McCaffrey again. They fed him, got him 27 total touches, 28 targets, including one attempted reception. But this is what they're going to be. It's a lot of McCaffrey, the occasional hit to Olsen, occasional hit to Samuel, etc. That's what Carolina, kind of what you signed up for. The story to me isn't Kyle Allen. Obviously, he came in and played really well. You're right, Arizona's defense. I think it's really and truly how unhealthy Cam Newton was, and that's going to be what comes out here in a couple weeks, whether it's the foot, the shoulder, everything in between. He's just not right, and I would say rest. Rest, young man, rest. We've got this for a while.
Yeah, stick with what worked yesterday,
yeah.
And until Cam Newton's back to 100% or close, then nothing else really matters because you're calling plays as if he can't plunge forward on the goal line to protect him. You could tell me he's okay, but your actions
your
say
actions
otherwise.
Your actions say otherwise.
Danny Parkins, Chicago Radio, sister station for us via Entercom in Chicago, does the afternoon drive show. He'll be on the air with us today a little over an hour from now at 1:45 to preview the Redskins-Bears from the Chicago perspective and to help us scout the opponent. We are going to be giving away Nats tickets coming up in 20 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. At that time, we can take a good look at the standings in the playoff chase after a weekend in which the Nats got a lot of help from the Cubs bullpen. But Redskins-Bears tonight, let's answer these questions and open up the phones at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on Washington Game Day Uncensored on GND, driven by LindseyCars.com. You're going to love it at Lindsey. What are you most confident in working out for the Redskins tonight, and what are you most worried about not going their way? Something you feel best about, something you feel worst about.
I'm confident that the Redskins will be able to take something away from Chicago. Whether they want to make this thing easy on Mitch Trubisky and they want to hand it off to Montgomery or hand it off to Davis or, you know, give it to Tariq Cohen, I think the Redskins are good enough right now defensively. As bad as they've been, for Greg Minuski to say, we're going to take away one thing that you would like to do and make you do something else. And if you beat us doing that thing, a.k.a. Mitch Trubisky dropping back on 3rd and 8, we'll tip our cap.
But what gives you the confidence they're good enough to do that? They haven't stopped the run yet. They haven't stopped the pass. They haven't rushed the quarterback. They've hung their hat on nothing defensively.
A, because Chicago's not these other two offenses that they've played. B, I think actually when you really go in depth on it, they have stopped the run in spurts. There have been moments where they have. And then once, you know, either they get behind or somebody makes an adjustment. I think if you turn this into a game where Chicago becomes more one-dimensional than they want to be, I think there'll be resources committed. I think the run will be slowed at least enough to the point where Chicago has to pass. I think Chicago can win the game that way because the Redskins' pass defense stinks. But to me, I'm confident that the Redskins will be good enough, just good enough, mostly because Chicago is bad enough, to take one thing away.
So for me, you tell me where you think I'm wrong here. I think when they've stopped the run in those spurts that you're referring to, it's when those teams weren't running the ball. They have not stopped the Eagles and the Cowboys rushing attacks really at any point. In other words, there were quarters on end where Doug Peterson was throwing it around. When he committed to Miles Sanders and the running game in the third quarter, they ran it right down the Redskins' throat at a halftime, came right down the field and scored. Ezekiel Elliott, look at his numbers from last week. When they decided they were going to run the ball to put the game away, Washington could not stop them. Now, maybe the answer is Jonathan Allen. You know, if that's why you give him more chance to stop the run tonight, okay, I'll get behind that. I could follow that thinking. But, yes, there are stretches of their games where the opponent has not run the ball effectively. I think that's just because they haven't run it much. They might run here or there 3, 4, 5 times for a quarter. When a team is decided, they go out on the field and they go, let's shove the ball down their throat right now. That has almost every single time resulted in a team successfully doing that. Now, like you, I think this is more an indictment of the Bears than an endorsement of the Redskins. I don't think Chicago can run it as well as Dallas. Maybe more like Philly, probably. But will they be better in that regard tonight? I hope so. They need to be. I'm not as confident as you are, though. So Danny's saying he's confident in stopping the run tonight. What are you most confident in? 800-636-1067. My confidence in this game really centers around Mitch Trubisky, who I've never thought anything of. I am confident in the fact that Trubisky will not play lights out enough to run away with this game. I think he will miss enough throws. I think he will miss enough open receivers, not seeing them. And he will, whether it's a turnover or not, be inaccurate enough to keep the Redskins in the game. So my confidence really has nothing to do with Washington and basically is just that I think Trubisky is one of the 5 worst starting quarterbacks in football. That's my confidence level highest tonight. What about worry? What concerns you the most?
I don't think the Redskins are going to be able to move the ball. I think maybe early something will be schemed up because Jay Gruden has good designs, good plans. But I think the weakness of this team is a talent level thing. I just don't think there are any counters in the bag. I don't think Jay can turn to his left and go, here's the trick. Here's what we'll do. Here's the adjustment that everybody wants him to make. They're so desperate for these, quote, halftime adjustments, hearkening back to the Joe Gibbs era. I don't think there are any adjustments. I think their personnel is better than yours. And that's why we've seen early offense that's happened. They've got out to leads in all of these games before the well dries up. I don't think much is going to be available to this group. I think Chicago is well-coached, well-coordinated, and they have horses on defense.
So I will give you my biggest concern as soon as we come back here next at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. But also, a couple of tweets just came in. I'm at Grant H. Paulson, and Danny's at Funny Danny. Some bigger picture thoughts on the rest of the season. Now, tonight, they'll either be 1-2 when they go to bed with a chance to get 500 next week against a Giants team without Saquon Barkley, or they'll be 0-3.
Yeah, what's the convo tomorrow,
facing,
man?
Daniel Jones, and you're going, oh, no, Patriots are two games away. And so the season, in a lot of ways, is in the balance. It's early, but certainly a code red game in a lot of ways tonight. I'll read a couple of those tweets for you. Grant and Danny on the Fan Monday Night Football from FedEx this evening.
It's Grant and Danny here for Window Nation. Mother Nature's got a warning for you. When the leaves start changing, you, yes, you, should think about making a change too. Changing the old windows on your home, that is. Window Nation can help you get ready for the colder weather now. With this offer, Window Nation is going to make protecting your home from the elements easy with the Fall Into Saving Sale.
Right now, get two free windows for every two you buy, wood or vinyl styles. Buy four and get four. There is no limit. Plus, receive zero interest for 18 months. No interest until 2021. 80,000 customers plus have chosen Window Nation, including me and Danny. Trust me, we know from experience, new energy-efficient windows make a big difference in homes, in your comfort and heating bills. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Cannot recommend these guys enough. They're awesome. Get two free windows for every two you buy. You buy four, you get four. You buy eight, you get eight for free. You get it. There's no limit. Plus, receive 0% interest. That's 0% until 2021 or 18 full months. As Grant said, call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION or visit them online at windownation.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At 1 o'clock, we'll hop around the NFL with much of Week 3 in the rearview mirror. Week 3 culminates tonight. Redskins and Bears from FedEx. Many of you guys getting ready to go to the game. Washington Game Day Uncensored on GND. Driven by LindsayCars.com. You will love it at Lindsay. We'll get to the calls in a second. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. We want to know what you feel most confident in and most worried about when it comes to the Redskins. I got a tweet here I wanted to read to you, though, because it's something I haven't really considered as possible, but based on the track record under the lights in primetime.
Which is very bad.
Should probably consider it. Guy says, it's Monday night at home. Dud is coming. Chicago's get right game. They beat us 31-6 or something equally awful. Now, that is a worst-case scenario, very pessimistic, probably even unrealistic way to view tonight's game. But let's just play a little hypothetical here.
Okay.
If the Bears do get right offensively and Mitch Trubisky is doing his Donovan McNabb at FedEx on Monday Night Football, Michael Jackson jigging the end zone after his third or fourth touchdown or
he
something like
that.
He
ran out of music videos to emulate.
What happens tomorrow? Is it as simple as everyone shows up at Redskins Park. Jay Gruden has a normal Monday after press conference. They're 0-3, and they say they got to get on track against the Giants. Or is it a bigger deal than that for either Minuski, for Gruden, for Keenum, who's played really well? You just saw, if you're Dan Snyder, Daniel Jones invigorate a fan base.
That's a good question.
Giants fans going nuts. Now, Case Keenum's done nothing wrong. All he's done is play pretty well. But if they lose big to the Bears, and you can't underscore enough, this isn't Sunday at 1 with your normal TV ratings.
The eyes of sports are upon you.
It's Booger McFarlane and Joe Tessitore, and ESPN's trucks are all there, and everyone in the country's watching. Will there be a major fallout if they have a stinker tonight?
Yes. I mean, if it's a stinker, then something happens.
So what is something? Is it just Greg Minuski?
That would be my most likely candidate.
Is that enough meat on the bone?
It is a way to say, we're not accepting this. There's something coming this season. And there's not. I mean, they're 0-3 and they're, you know, a fork is sticking out of their side fat. But it would be a way to kind of demonstrate that the shakeup is happening. It's why, I mean, everybody knew this was coming at some point, right? It's why you spent all these resources, quote unquote, not interviewing all these defensive coordinator candidates that you were looking to replace this guy. You bring in a bunch of these former coordinators who, granted, couldn't get DC jobs and haven't done tremendously well in those roles, but you've got veteran coaches on that side of the football. Anybody could be an interim guy here for a little bit. These guys are looking for a career reclamation, and that's why it's attractive to them to take a job as a position coach, because you're thinking, if you're a Ryan or if you're a Horton, somebody, I could probably get myself a DC gig not that long from now. When this guy gets blown out, next thing you know, I'm the interim guy. I'll get my career back on track. That's why they're available, and that's why they wanted to come take a position coach job. So I think that would do it. I don't know if it satisfies people, but it would be a big show, a big demonstration that we're not going to take this anymore.
Let's go the flip side real quick. You go back to that Sunday Night Football game where everything clicked against the Raiders a couple years ago, and the Skins dominated Oakland in week two. It was kind of a similar deal to this. We thought the Raiders were better than they were coming into that game. You know, maybe it's the Packers Sunday night game where Cousins and Crowder went ham sandwich against Green Bay on Sunday Night Football in a beginning of that run, that magical carpet ride they rode all the way to the playoffs. And let's say tonight they, after having one real sack through two games, they sack Mitch Trubisky six times. And defensively they allow 10 points and they win 17-10 or 23-10 and they handle the Bears. And the story coming out of it is that they played defense, they made enough throws and big plays in the passing game. Maybe Terry McLaurin had another big catch.
Yep.
They're able to put the ball and the game away in Adrian Peterson's hands. Then I think the discussion tomorrow is very, very different. 100% from this
different.
Perspective.
Yeah, exactly. The opposite.
This is how people will view it. You should have beaten the Eagles. You dominated them for two quarters. You had that game in your hands. You blew it. You hung with Dallas. Dallas is 3-0. They beat the Dolphins by 25 yesterday. They covered a huge, huge number. They're one of the better teams in the league, they'll be saying. And you've now played a couple of elite teams in the conference. We thought coming into the year very hard. You beat the Bears, who were a 12-4 playoff team last year. You got the Giants this coming week. You'll be 2-2. I think people will be actually feeling like Jay Gruden's doing a good job, and the Redskins are on their way to maybe another 500-ish season, despite expectations well below that.
Well, you start to do some math. You go, you could be 2-3 through 5 weeks when the buzzsaw that is New England comes to town and shellacks you like they're doing everybody else. But then you feel like you got a soft landing spot in Miami. Now, San Fran's 3-0, but it's not the greatest 3-0 I've ever seen.
Yeah, the New England and the Miami games are going to cancel each other out.
Yeah,
you're probably 1-1 in those two. As good a chance as there is that you lose to New England, there's that good a chance that you beat Miami, and there's no such thing as gimmies when you're the Redskins.
Yeah, because there's no such thing.
But you play those two out 100 times. I would say 79% of the time you go 1-1.
But the point is, there's some more winnable games coming.
Yes.
Right now, some of them may not be as easy as we thought. Now Detroit's 2-0-1. They ain't so bad. You play them in November. Is that a layup? You don't know. The point I'm making is, if you could survive this early storm, we all kind of looked at the schedule and went, "Man, oh man, that's a buzzsaw. 12-win team is waiting in the hole." For you,
yes.
As you start with two divisional opponents that are convincingly better than you. Now, all of a sudden, you could start to dream about a relevant season. Maybe a couple injuries happen. Maybe some attrition happens. And you could be, quote, in the hunt graphic. That's what's on the line tonight. This is two dramatically different outcomes based on this primetime game.
And for me, tonight's not really about survival. The Bears are not as good as we thought they were going to be. The Bears are, this is a very winnable game. Let's go to Melvin and Lorton on G&D. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was just hearing, I hear y'all talk about how bad the Redskins are on prime time. But let's not forget, Washington's coming in here playing Chicago, which they have beat the last eight times they done played them. Because Chicago haven't beaten us since both.
Seven straight times they've beaten the Bears, and the Redskins have lost seven straight games in prime time. Something has to give tonight. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and the Chicago offense is not that good. There's nothing I get it twisted. It's very bad. So, I think the Redskins winning this game is better than you thought. And I would take them into 5 points all day long.
I appreciate the call. Thank you for ringing in. Look, they have played the Bears in December a couple of times, most recently when Chicago stunk. The Bears last year turned into a playoff team. The two games before that were December 24th, Christmas Eve 2016, and December 13th, 2015, during that run to get to the playoffs. And the Redskins beat them by 20 and 3 points in those two games, respectively. Now, before that, there was a home game in 2013. Griffin played really well. Jordan Reed went crazy. They won by 4 in a shootout, 45-41. Those games are irrelevant. And you can say, if you want to, that so is their record on Monday Night Football. I'm not going to be mentioning that today because I don't really believe how that's all that relevant. I'll say, if I have to choose one or the other, I think how they play in primetime is more relevant than how they fared against the Bears 3 years ago. I mean, a completely different Chicago team that was headed for the top five pick in the draft. But, yeah, what you said, I think, that makes the most sense or is most relevant to these Redskins tonight is Chicago's offense has not looked good enough to bury you. It does not look like Mitchell Trubisky and this offense are going to leave you in their wake. You got a chance. Make a couple plays. Maybe it's on special teams. Maybe it's on defense. Maybe it's Terry McLaurin getting loose once on a play-action deep shot. In a 17-13 type game, that could be the difference.
Yeah, a big play here or there. I think if you eliminate the big gaffes, the big terrible mistakes in the secondary, the Josh Norman, you know, starting to point at somebody while a guy jogs free towards the end zone because he can't keep up because he's very slow and pedestrian as a corner. You eliminate some of those huge plays from Chicago and make him execute up and down the field. That's the kind of game where you can compete with somebody that may be a little bit better than you. I think they can do that tonight. I really do. I have this gut feeling they're going to win the game, which might sound so stupid tomorrow.
Take a good look at the Nats' playoff chances and what's going on around them in the wild card hunt as they get ready to play five games against Bryce Harper's Phillies in 4 days, starting with a first pitch a little bit after 7 tonight at Nats Park. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny. We're going around the NFL at 1. Remember, Danny Parkins from Chicago helps us scout the Bears at 1:45.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Nationals, though, Danny, took 2 of 3 against the Marlins, despite the fact that Miami twice came through with 4-run outputs in the late innings against the Washington bullpen. The Nats' pen is bad enough and was in that Miami series that maybe the conversation shouldn't be at all. Are they going to get to the play-in game? Which it looks like they're going to. Are they going to make the playoffs? It looks like they will. Are they going to fend off and hold on to that last spot that the Cubs are essentially gifting them right now? Speaking of Chicago, who's in town with the Bears tonight.
Right.
Play the Redskins. But maybe the better question is the bullpen still bad enough, and has the improvement of the pen been so minute since all those changes that were made at the deadline that none of this matters anyway? Because here's what people don't seem to get when they talk about the Nats is this team no one wants to play in the playoffs. First of all, that's a little antiquated. That's a few weeks old because they haven't played that well lately. But more importantly, this has always kind of been my thought. The Nationals' rotation is excellent.
It is.
Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin, pitching in the first 3 games, could all go out there and pitch 6 or 7 dominant innings. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 6 years ago, that's a really big deal. Now, and over the last few years in baseball, bullpens way more important in October than rotations. Starters oftentimes go 5 or so innings. Games are decided by relief pitching. The Nats' bullpen is not anywhere near good enough for them to actually win in the playoffs. And I don't mean in a one-game play-in. Maybe they score 8 runs and win 8-3 going away. But over the course of an October stretch, division series, LCS, whatever we want them to accomplish for the first time, having not gotten out of the first round, tell me why I'm wrong here. I watched Fernando Rodney give up 4 runs after Strasburg went 7 scoreless and blow a game on Saturday. I watched yesterday as Wander Suero and Hunter Strickland took their turns giving up 4 runs as they blew another game against a terrible Marlins team that they're not going to have to get any matchups against in the playoffs. It's much harder teams, much better lineups than that. Are we wasting our time even talking about the play-in game with this bullpen?
It's all I can think about. It's the story. It's remained the story. People got exhausted talking about it, so they stopped. It didn't stop becoming a problem. They leapfrogged the Orioles for worst bullpen in the majors. Again, ERA just under 6. They can't stop anybody. They can't do it. It doesn't matter who it is. Whoever that phone rings for down there out of that bullpen, that guy's got issues. And it's really compounded by the fact that Sean Doolittle's not Sean Doolittle, and nobody seems to be in a hurry to make him Sean Doolittle again. We're just sort of limping along like we've got months to go. There is not months to go. There is a week. It's this week, and that's it.
They're avoiding him.
Yeah.
In high-leverage spots. Now, part of that could be, and we'll talk to him tomorrow, and I'll ask him this question. Are they managing him as if they don't necessarily trust him in a big spot? Or have they decided that the most valuable weapon he can be for them, and this could be possible, I buy this thinking a little bit, is not pitching the ninth inning, the last three outs of a game, but rather implemented as a lefty against lefties because they have no one who can get lefties out. And they've decided, we'll figure out the ninth inning when we get to the ninth inning. We got to get there first. That's more of a new school, less traditional way of thinking. And maybe their point is Doolittle, see Andrew Miller with the Indians a few years ago for Terry Francona, in the biggest spot against left-handed bats, that's when we'll use him. I just don't give him the benefit of that doubt that that's what they're doing. Because in a couple of these games where Doolittle's rested in the eighth, they're going to Fernando Rodney. They're going to other guys like Hunter Strickland. I saw a stat from Mark Zuckerman, who covers the team for Masson, this morning. And I'm going to pull it up here real quick. He's on Twitter, just at Mark Zuckerman. But he had said basically that over the last month that the Nationals have used Wander Suero and Tanner Rainey something like twice as much as they used Doolittle and Dan Hudson, mm-hmm. who are their two best high-leverage pitchers. And he said that has to change over the final week of the season. Some of that is game situation because they've been behind by a lot or way ahead in the games that they've won or lost, and there haven't been that many tight spots, so they're saving those guys. But there's something to be said for this is not June anymore. You got to figure out a way to pitch Doolittle as often as possible, Hudson as often as possible, and we'll worry about fatigue and everything else when the season ends. They keep going to Rainey like he's reliable and Suero like—
because they're trying to stay off guys.
He's a high-leverage guy.
Yeah.
But I guess that's my frustration here. Someone said to me the other day, they tweeted me, they go, why was Fernando Rodney pitching in that spot? Guess what? Fernando Rodney's going to be pitching in that spot in the play-in game. Fernando Rodney will be pitching in that spot in game one of a division series against the Dodgers if you're lucky enough to get there. It's not like this is some out-of-character usage. These are their relievers.
This is who it is. This
you
is
can't
the cast.
Hide this bullpen. This is it. This is the group. No one's coming through that door.
5.71 ERA in September from the bullpen. Again, this I guess it improves slightly with the addition of Strickland. And Elias hasn't done anything except pull his hamstring and give up a couple home runs to lefties. So he ain't helping you. And Hudson has helped them, certainly, but it's not enough. Nothing is enough for this group. You need an entirely new cast of characters, basically. And that's not available to you at this point. This is the story. If they somehow get hot, which we saw for a little while, remember? They had a month, I want to say, goodness, maybe it was in June or maybe it was July where they were adequate. They were still not good, but they were adequate. And we rejoiced. We're doing spin kicks. All you have to do is not kill us. It's like Redskins special teams. Just don't screw me over. Just don't ruin anything. Just don't get a kick blocked or fumble a punt or something like that. The fact that they were just okay for a while made us jump for joy. They're not okay again. It's right back to what it was pre-trade levels.
Washington Game Day Uncensored on Grant and Danny, driven by LindseyCars.com. You'll love it at Lindsey. Top of the hour, we'll get back into the NFL. Get to the games we have not yet covered. A lot of Week 3 action we can break down. Right now, though, as promised, every day in the 12:45 segment, caller number 10. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Nats take on the Indians in the final series of the weekend. This is coming up in 5 days, September 28th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan, PenFed Credit Union taking you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. The details are at thefandc.com/contests. We'll spin you around the league next on Grant and Danny.
Guys, Danny Rubio here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I want you to have the same experience that I've had. Not one, not two, but three different times. Three different times, Ted Britt customer. These guys are awesome at what they do. And what they do is get you a fantastic car at a price you won't believe. The deals are great. And here's the cool thing. Ted Britt does something standard. Not just for big radios, LAs. Nope, just regular folk. They do a little something called Ted Britt for life. Here's what that means, okay? You go to Ted Britt Ford. They get you 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That's just to kind of get things moving. And then once that's done, they take care of you for life. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it, right? Confidence for life, powertrain, the big stuff. Service loaner program, which is fantastic. Battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. For life. You don't have to worry about it. So you knock off a bunch of items on your honey-do list. Oh, I got to get the oil changed. I got to go find one of those bays. Oh, I've also got to go do Virginia State inspection. All done right there on site. Go see my guys at Pepper Ford, Fairfax, so it's quickawaypepper.com. And here you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.